We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the Kia Studios. This is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Thursday night. Don't forget, we've got the radio.com app always available to you to download, so you can catch us on the go. And we know that you're not spending as much time in the car, so that's the best and easiest way to catch up with us. And you can listen back to anything in real time over the last 24 hours. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Follow us on social media. Station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Let's get to our college football roundup.
It's time for the college football roundup. A complete look at all the collegiate football action. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so we mentioned this earlier in the show. The College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta has officially shut down for the time being. In their statement on Twitter earlier today, the health and wellness of our guests and team members is a top priority of the Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame. Public health experts have called for reducing large gatherings and increasing social distancing. Out of an abundance of caution, we will temporarily close the College Football Hall of Fame for the remainder of March and closely monitor the situation with the intent to return to full operations as soon as possible. Now, I got to be honest with you. I had assumed that they were already closed. Because most things had already shut down. Movie theaters and a lot of restaurants and things like that. I'd assume that they were already closed up out there. Says that, well, you know, they'll be closed up through March, which, by the way, is only, what, a week away? Like a week and a couple of days away? Not very much longer. So I don't know if they're going to open back up in April, if they're going to kind of wait like everybody else that's out there. I mean, obviously, they're going to play a huge role when we get to SEC Media Days. So, I think they want to be cautious about saying, oh, yeah, we're going to shut down for any length or long period of time because, you know, they're going to be the epicenter. When it gets to be, you know, mid-July and the SEC Media Days are scheduled to be here, that's where it all takes place. You know, the Omni Hotel right next to it there, plus, you know, the College Football Hall of Fame. And it's a cool setup. And if you go in that big room where the field is in the College Football Hall of Fame, that's where the coaches come in and they do their, you know, big presser, and you got lots of press folk there. Now, we don't know yet how that's going to look. I mean, the way press conferences are done now, you see there's that, what is that, that safe distancing or whatever that they've got where you have people sitting like 5-6 feet apart from one another. There's too many people to do that, you know, the way the College Football Hall of Fame would be set up and having coaches there. Maybe they limit the media. I don't know. But I don't think they're gonna cancel SEC Media Days. Given we're not talking about till mid July. But certainly I think the College Football Hall of Fame, in the very short term, wants to do what's right, but also too, by saying, because that's one of the few things that has said, oh yeah, we're gonna reevaluate that in March. Well, again, that's, you know, 10, 11 days from now. That's a week and a half from now to decide about whether or not they're gonna stay open. So but for right now, if you had plans to visit the College Football Hall of Fame as you're off from work and things like that and self-quarantining and all that kind of stuff, they will not be available to you. So according to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Razorbacks athletic director Hunter Juracek has told school trustees that they expect the payouts this year from the SEC conference to be $2 to $3 million less. Now, here's what I'm going to say. It's hard for me to say boo frickety. Well, I can say boo frickety who. The league handed out last year to each individual school. Okay? Remember, the SEC is split equally. There isn't a Texas that absorbs a lot of the deal, Oklahoma that gets their share. The SEC splits it evenly. If you're Alabama or Vanderbilt, you get the same check. Okay? That's what the SEC doles out. That's because of tournaments and bowls and TV money, all the different things that go into it, okay? So last year, the league handed out $44.6 million per school. And if this is true, they may be only looking at, let's say on the worst end, $41 million. Is that still a pretty good check that you picked up from the SEC? If we're honestly, you know, they're saying, well, across all the teams, it could be 40 some million. Okay, but if per school we're talking about $2 or $3 million, that's not that dramatic a hit when you're talking about spreading it out. Because what is the number of SEC schools times 40 plus million dollars? Start with that number right away and say, oh, okay, that's a pretty significant amount of money. I get it. You know, $2 or $3 million to Arkansas or Vanderbilt can be a big deal. But none of that money is like always guaranteed to you that, oh, it's always going to keep going up and it's always more. You know, in life, it doesn't work that way. Maybe in college athletics, it always works about everybody's allowed to keep getting richer and richer and richer. You know, like, by the way, that $44.6 million, how much payment was made to the amateur athletes that piggybacked off the, oh, sorry. They got sweatpants and three meals. So, but it's hard for me to cry too poor about the SEC, who's pulling in gobs and gobs and gobs of money every year. Okay, you have a year where maybe you make $3 million less than you did. Okay, I understand nobody wants to go backward, but that also happens in life. That's also what can happen. It happens in the real world. It happens to real people. It certainly can happen to the SEC out of all of it. Now, he also says, too, that, let's see, that travel costs that Arkansas won't have to pay, okay, will help to balance a little bit out. Because obviously there'll be ticket refunds and things like that. But remember, when you start talking about loading up a team and taking them, as much as it is fun and cool to go to a bowl game and things like that, when you start looking at the cost of loading up a team, traveling, you know, for instance, say you're Georgia Tech, or say Georgia, let's take Georgia State, okay? And you're going to Arizona for your bowl game, okay? Yes, it's a great honor to be in the bowl game and go out there. Well, let's face it, there are some real costs about loading up a football team and the equipment and everything and heading out to Arizona. That's not a cheap proposition. So you're not necessarily going to a bowl game to profit, okay? And I don't know, it used to be in the old days that the Chick-fil-A was the highest paying non-major bowl. When Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl was not the not one of the major bowls that it is now, when it was not part of the six bowl rotation. So most of these schools probably lose money on bowl games, you know, anyway. And if you're Arkansas and you're not very good, you know, you get the benefits of everybody else that's doing well, and you don't have the expense, but you still get the $40 million paycheck. But I sort of get it, but at the same time, I'm not really crying poor for the SEC when it's all said and done, given how much money they pull in athletics. All right, so the Big 12 announced that announced on March 12th that there will be no football practices and spring sports activities until at least March 29th. Okay, Oklahoma had their spring football game scheduled for April 18th. Okay, now, Oklahoma has confirmed that they will not play the game on that date. And by the way, that Saturday, April 18th, was also G-Day. That was also supposed to be Georgia's spring game, okay? But According to athletic director Joe Castiglione, they haven't ruled out having a spring game. Quote, "We've been receiving a lot of questions about whether the spring game will be held on April 18th or even at all. The fact of the matter is it would be virtually impossible to hold the game on the originally scheduled date since we're not sure when or if we'll be able to return to practice. So in talking with Lincoln Riley, we feel at the very least it's appropriate to announce that the game and associated activities will not occur on April 18th. They say given all the unknowns that are out there right now, it's impossible to determine, but they don't rule out playing a spring game. Now, they would be one of the few people that would do that because pretty much everybody else is saying, okay, if we're suspending all activity, then there's not going to be any spring football when all is said and done. That there's no need to try to schedule it. And you're talking about the academic calendar. You're talking about kids going home. You're talking about, you know, summertime. I don't know. I don't know what Oklahoma exactly has in mind for something like this. But, yeah, I'm sure for, you know, I mean, look, in Oklahoma, that's the show, right? You know, in Norman, Oklahoma, there's a basketball team, and that's about it, right? You got Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and the Thunder. I get there's minor league teams and stuff like that. You know, I get it, but they're the big dog in town. You know, they're the big dog in the state. So, you know, people obviously are very invested in Oklahoma football. Probably more invested in Oklahoma football than any other sport in the state, right? I mean, I think it's a pretty fair statement. More than Oklahoma State football, more than NBA basketball, Oklahoma football is the driving force of sports in that state. So they may not want to give that up because there is a lot of cachet to it. I get that. When they would play that game, though, I have no idea. Because a lot of these colleges, and I don't know if Oklahoma is one of them, you know, they're not even having students on campus right now. Right, like Clemson and some other schools, Florida State, I know, because I talked to a buddy of mine whose daughter goes there. They're all going to do online classes like the rest of this academic season. Like, they don't even want people on campus. And if you're saying that the eight-week window of less than 10 people, how are you going to have football practice? How are you going to pull that off? How are you going to have kids there and people there in the middle of June or July? I don't see it happening. I said before, maybe you think about, you know, in the fall before you play your first game about getting maybe people together and having like a scrimmage or something, but I don't know. That's a lot of details they have to work out. All right, when we get back, Falcons fans, I think you're asking about the wrong LA Ram that was cut today to come over and be a part of this team. I'll explain that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app. On my mind, constantly,
in my arms where you should be.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the John Chuckery Show and the Brown Liquor Music Hour rolling right along on a Thursday. Don't forget that radio.com app. You don't want to miss out on anything, like all the great music that we play in the 10 o'clock hour. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of our show. Follow us on social media. Station's at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He is at Jarvis D90. Well, obviously, big news in the NFL, and especially for, you know, folks here in Atlanta familiar with the names. Todd Gurley today was released by the LA Rams. We talked about, I think the stat that I saw was every running back drafted in 2015 is no longer now with their original team. It's obviously a position that has gotten devalued. Now, Todd Gurley is in a situation where, you know, he's not coming off of an ACL and things like that. And I had somebody on my Twitter feed at JMCH316 that was like, well, remember Adrian Peterson, you know, talking about coming from injury, remember Adrian Peterson had an ACL. Guys come back from that. Last fall, Todd Gurley was diagnosed with an arthritic knee, and his trainer, among others, confirmed it. Okay, arthritis isn't I just go in the hot tub or go to, you know, Dr. Feelgood and it gets better. You know, arthritis is what put Sandy Koufax out of baseball in his prime. After the 1966 baseball season, Sandy Koufax no longer pitched because of an arthritic elbow. Now, I understand technology and things like that are better in today's world, but arthritis is arthritis. So, Falcon fans, of course, because it's Todd Gurley, the tie into Georgia, a lot of people wanted Todd Gurley here in Atlanta, you know, on draft night. Now, I've said before, I don't think for what Vic Beasley did in 2016 was immensely important, and they wouldn't have gotten to the Super Bowl without that season from him. You had to have Matt as the MVP to carry it, but you also needed a guy like that on defense to make it happen as well. So the reality of the situation is they wouldn't have gotten to the Super Bowl without Vic Beasley's season. I don't know that Todd Gurley would have done more to get them to the Super Bowl. Hell, they didn't run the football anyway, right, when it mattered most. And they had a 1,000-yard running back. It's not like they decided to, you know, offensively do what was their strong point. So when Falcon fans started talking about the idea of bringing Todd Gurley in here and this, that, and the other, my first gut reaction was, I think you're all looking at the wrong guy that got cut today. Because the sidebar to the story is, along with Todd Gurley getting cut by the L.A. Rams, Clay Matthews, yes, that Clay Matthews as well, was cut today. Now, Clay Matthews, at this stage of his career, he'll be 34 years old come May 14th. Certainly on the twilight of his career. But if you look last year before he got hurt and the 13 games that he played and started last year, 3 pass defended, 2 forced fumbles, 37 tackles, and had 8 sacks last year. And my thought process is, if there's one of those two guys that we should be looking at, Clay Matthews should be the guy that should be looking at being here. Now, somebody on the text line brought up earlier about the fact, no doubt about it, you've got his cousin that plays left tackle for this team. His dad finished up his career here in Atlanta. But more than that is the fact that the Falcons are one of the better organizations. They have the ability to be one of the better teams. And if he's looking for a winner and some of the other, you know, cachet of things that can go along with it, why not the Falcons? And more importantly is, why not the Falcons take a look at him? You know, why can't we get, if Devondre Campbell at 27 years old is getting a one-year show-me deal, we can't get Clay Matthews on a one-year show-me deal, probably for less money because of where he's at in his career. You know, he's played 11 years now in the NFL. And don't get it twisted. He's not the same guy that, you know, in 4 of his first 6 seasons in the league was a double-digit sack guy. I'll grant you, he's not that player anymore. But he was pretty good last year when he was on the field. And I know what the first thing people are saying. They're going to use the same criticism of him as what they do with Dante Fowler. Well, he plays with Aaron Donald. Okay. Does Clay Matthews have a track record of being good? Okay. Is Clay Matthews a, and I'm going to bring this up, is he a borderline Hall of Fame player? I'm not telling you he is or he's not. You don't think he's in the discussion of when he retires, should he go in the Hall of Fame? You don't think there's a discussion about that? Because Dante Fowler ain't done that yet. And Clay Matthews, you know, has been a winner for a long time in this league. So when you look at the position of linebacker, and we brought this up earlier, where you have, after Deion Jones, you pretty much have nothing to garbage as far as quality linebackers go. None. And you need more than just a body in Dan Quinn's defense. You need more than just a guy on the field in Dan Quinn's defense. And as we said last night, Simply signing Dante Fowler doesn't solve all of your pass rush woes. You know, the more bodies that I can have that can accumulate sacks, this team needs it. This team desperately needs it. I don't care that Dante Fowler had three more sacks than what Vic Beasley had last year. They need a lot more than just adding three more or Tack getting three or four more. We broke it down last night. They need to find about 15 more sacks is what they need to find, ideally, unless their offense is going to be so lights out good that they don't have to worry about it. And truthfully, if their offense is that good, they'll have big sack totals because teams will have to throw on them all the time, and they'll be put in a position where, you know, you get a big lead on a team. Guess what? Now you're in a position where you can go sack the quarterback much easier. And Vic Beasley had one of those kinds of years where get out to a big lead. How do you protect the lead? Run the ball effectively, sack the other team's quarterback. Well, we had a guy at 15 and a half sacks. So I'll be honest with you. I would be more excited about Clay Matthews coming here by tons than Todd Gurley, because I don't trust Todd Gurley. This is not 2013 Todd Gurley before the injuries, before the arthritic knee. It's not the same guy. That becomes more name than game. Will Todd Gurley get a job in the NFL? Yeah, he ran for 800-some yards and, 10 touchdowns or something last year. Of course he will. Of course he will. Somebody's going to roll the dice on Todd Gurley. Might be that team south of us that we're going to talk about in the next segment. So, yeah, somebody will roll the dice on Todd Gurley. He's not going to be out of the league, okay, by any stretch of the imagination. But you have to be careful what you wish for and be careful how much you're going to pay a guy like that. And remember, Falcons fans just got done complaining and moaning about the fact of we need to cut Devontae Freeman because he doesn't stay healthy and he wasn't productive. Well, are you guaranteeing me that Todd Gurley stays healthy? Are you rolling the dice on that? Because what tells you Todd Gurley is any healthier than what Devontae Freeman is? So back to my original point, give me Clay Matthews. Why can't we go get a guy like that? Why can't Arthur bring him to the house, serve him the lasagna, the famous Arthur lasagna closing dish? Because they're not going to be able to go to Bones right now. We know that, right? They ain't going to Bones or Chops or anything like that because it's all closed up right now. And I don't think Arthur's going to send a driver to go grab some steaks from Chops or whatever and take out and bring him back. Serve him the world-famous Arthur Blank lasagna to close the deal. And this team needs linebackers. And you know what else this team could use? Some veteran defensive presence. Especially now that you've gotten rid of Trufant. Especially now that you've gotten rid of the guy who is kind of your team captain, if you will, on defense. Especially now that some of those guys are going by the wayside. You know, that leaves kind of Ricardo Allen on the back end, and you'd have a Clay Matthews on the front end of your defense. I'll take that. I'll take that as my leaders, you know, of my defensive unit. And listen, even if Clay Matthews doesn't have the same season, let's say Clay Matthews plays 15 games and only registers, say, 5 or 6 sacks. You wouldn't take a linebacker who can get you 5 sacks? Because guess what we don't have right now? A linebacker that gets us 5 or 5.5 sacks. You may not replace all the tackling numbers that Devondre Campbell soaks up, but I'd love to have Clay Matthews here. And if you give me my choice of which L.A. Ram that I'd much rather have, give me a 1-year show-me deal for Clay Matthews to come in here. Could you get him for, and I didn't look at what his cap number was. I think last year his cap number was like $3.5 million. Would you take a 1-year, maybe $4 to $5 million deal on Clay Matthews? Why wouldn't you roll the dice? And trust me, if you say it's about money, they just found $48 million for Dante Fowler. And they got money coming, you know, on the books on June 2nd. All right, when we come back, unfortunately, when we're talking about the NFC South, it's starting to look and feel like the Buccaneers are going to be a lot better quickly rather than later on. And I'll explain why coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
It took some time for me to see.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios on the John Chuckley Show. Don't forget your radio.com app to get that on all your devices and listen to us live anywhere, anyplace, anytime when you're on the go. Not just in the car anymore. Man, you got to be mobile in these crazy mixed up, turned up, nutty days of life that we've got. 404-741-0929, that's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be on the show. Follow us on social media at 929TheGame. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. There is a report out, and of course this is Adam Schefter putting out this report, that even though Buccaneers have not finalized a deal, or, you know, not they haven't had the official signing of the contract for Tom Brady yet, and obviously, by all intents and purposes, he's going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. It's not a matter of anything like that. But the story is that now Tampa Bay is fielding a lot of requests about guys want to come and play there. Now, that's obviously not a surprise. You have the greatest quarterback in the history of the game that probably has a chip on his shoulder right now and feels like he has something to prove. With, by the way, a defense that can be the top 10, maybe the most, is Mike Evans the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL? Does he not get nearly as much love and talk as what he should? Is he one of the more underrated wide receivers in the entire NFL? Lots of weapons. They have to figure out some offensive line. They got to figure out a running game. They don't run the football very well. They've got certainly a very good head coach that is a creative mind in Bruce Arians. So obviously, as is, there's a lot of, and by the way, you know, they've got some good draft picks that will be available to them. It's no surprise when you hear something like that. As a Falcon fan, though, isn't that kind of frustrating, though? That all of a sudden to be watching and seeing Tampa Bay maybe getting really good, really fast. And that's it, it's not a knock against the Falcons organization of, you know, look, the Falcons, a lot of guys want to come here and play. The Falcons have a very talented roster. But it's like we keep talking about, the idea that there you can just afford to just give up a season. You know, the idea that, well, you know, we played well in the second half of the year, but we're not going to put everything into perspective. You can't do that in the NFL. It changes so fast. And think how quickly this division has turned. I mean, on a dime. Yeah, the Falcons could be pretty good. They can be a playoff team. Yeah, the Saints have won the division last couple of years. They can still be there. Boom, Tom Brady comes to the Patriots, or comes to the Buccaneers. Say what? Huh? And now the division is completely turned upside down. And there's rumors that they want to go after Brandon Cooks. There's rumors they may go after Todd Gurley. You know, there's the reality is that's one of those situations where don't you feel like guys will come there to win? They'll take less money to come there and win. And why do I say that? Because you have a quarterback that has the proven track record. You have the guy that if there's one player in the entirety of the NFL that you can't question what he's done on the field, it is that guy. There's nobody above him. There's no bigger winner. If the NFL is all about winning, there's nobody to hitch your wagon to in the sport than him. And by the way, who'd be number two? because it wouldn't even be a close gap. So that's where you get guys that say, okay, yeah, I want to make my money, but I want to win. And listen, I've asked Hugh Douglas this question in 10 different ways. Hugh, if you were going to play five less years, but you were going to get a Super Bowl trophy, which would you take? And he said the Super Bowl trophy. Hugh, you won't get the big fat paycheck in Jacksonville, but you'll get that'll set you for life, but you'll get the Super Bowl. Which one you want? Super Bowl. So many of those guys, that's what they want. They want that, which obviously that's what you play for, right? Is a trophy. And you will get guys that maybe are still looking at where should I go, saying, can I go to Tampa for a year or two? Because you don't go down to Tampa right now with Tom Brady thinking that I want to be here for the next 4 or 5 years. Look, let's go get a Super Bowl. And I can assure you, Tampa didn't sign Tom Brady to, hey, let's see if we can get to the playoffs. Do you think the owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just paid Tom Brady and would come out and say, yeah, I think we could be a playoff team? Yeah, you know, I think we can compete for a playoff spot. I think we can be in the mix for a playoff spot. You think the owner of the Buccaneers would come out and say that when you signed Tom Brady? No, you signed Tom Brady because you're telling the world that we're Super Bowl or bust. You don't even have to say the words to know that if you signed Tom Brady, that would have been true for any franchise. You understand that if the XFL signed Tom Brady, it was because they want to win the Super Bowl. If the what's the name of the team in Dallas for the XFL? Look up the Dallas nickname. I don't know what they are. If that team signed Tom Brady, it's because they want to go win a Super Bowl. I don't know if they're the Dallas Roughnecks or the Dallas, you know, Cattle Prodders or whatever they are. You sign that guy to go win the Super Bowl. The Dallas Renegades. If the Dallas Renegades sign Tom Brady, it's because they want to go to the NFL and win a Super Bowl. That's how it is when you sign a guy at that level. And it's a little bit frustrating to think about, okay, here's another team in our division getting better. And it's not just about, okay, let's say the Falcons and the Falcons, Buccaneers, and Saints split. Okay, let's say the Falcons go 2-2 against the Buccaneers and the Saints. That's not bad at all. Okay, the problem is that guy can find three or four more wins against some of the goofball teams that he'll play. Like if they play Jacksonville, they won't lose with Tom Brady. Okay, so when you're talking about 7 wins. And can he come in and make you 3 or 4 wins better? Yeah. And now I've got another double-digit win team in the NFC South to have to jump over. And I get it. Look, you play who's in front of you, and you got to take care of your own business. It's just that team is going to be looked at as the landing spot. That team is going to be looked at as, you know, and it doesn't always guarantee anything. Remember when the Philadelphia Eagles were the all-star team? Remember when everybody wanted to go to Philadelphia? Now, the difference is they have that guy at quarterback. The idea of Tom Brady going 5-11 is pretty unfathomable. It is. It feels like it's beyond comprehension to say that Tom Brady would have all that talent, they'd be a 5-11 team. I don't think that we will see something like that. But it just kind of sucks. I mean, listen, we're trying to figure things out. We're trying to get better. We're trying to make our signings. And you're hearing about, oh, yeah, guys are lining up to go down to Tampa Bay. And that's why you need the Clay Matthews of the world. You need one or two of those guys. What does he guys always tell me about? We need some dog in us. D-A-W-G, some dog in us. Okay, let me have a Clay Matthews and some guys like that. If I'm going to take on Tom Brady and Drew Brees, give me some of those guys that are like that. Give me some of those guys with some edge that are successful, that are really good players, you know, that still have something to play for. Maybe they're not the same player that they were, but they have something to play for. Yeah, Tom Brady's not the same player that he was 5 years ago. But if Tom Brady walked up to your franchise and said, you know, hey, Do you want me? For what? 80% of the teams in the league, they'd say, of course. I get it. You know, Pat Mahomes and, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And, yeah, there's a few of those guys that you know, they'd be like, yeah, you know, we'll go with our guy first. I get it. I've said all the time. I think Pat Mahomes, if you put every player in a free agent NFL draft and said, go build your franchise, there'd be no player taken over Pat Mahomes right now. Not for what he can do. So, it's frustrating. I want to see, you know, this is why we have to capitalize and we have to try to win this thing, man. All right, when we get back, it's time for the Love TKO. Wrap things up and hand off to Dwayne Walker. Coming up next, Chuck Ring, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Nights on the Game. If I touch, if I kiss, if I held you tight.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.